B-Pod Studios.
Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah.
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah.
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, talk about quarterback play and how instrumental it's been, passing game play, how instrumental it's been in the playoffs, and whether or not it's going to be a big factor in this game coming up on Sunday. So you talk about Phillip Rivers and his ability to beat you and how much you fear him or respect him, or, you know, I have a healthy level of respect for him as a quarterback, and again, I love the spot for him in terms of last chance at a championship, and so that makes him kind of dangerous, I think. I've talked about this a lot. Maz, you're not as high on Phillip Rivers overall as I am. So I ask you, and I just threw this at you, you know, right at the spur of the moment. So I gave you a day to think of it. Where do you rank Phillip Rivers this century?
Seventh.
Okay. Give me your list. 1 to 7, please.
Okay. Brady, Manning, Breeze, Roethlisberger, Rodgers, Eli, Rivers.
Yeah, I have him around there. He's not in my top five. I know that.
Okay. So I think that's fair. I have him sixth. I have him ahead of Eli. Okay, and I have him just behind Roethlisberger and Breeze. But as I said to you at the time, I think it's Brady, Manning, and I said that at the time. You flipped you put Rodgers back down your list.
I did. I slid him down. Now,
good for you.
Well, he finished badly.
You should. No, you should hold that against him. Absolutely. But this was my list. You know, when we did this a couple months ago, Brady, Manning, Rodgers, and then I really think, and I think you know, there's three other groupings: Brady, Manning, and then Rodgers. Is his own on his own little tier by himself. And I think Roethlisberger, Breeze, Rivers, Eli, I think they're all the same guy, meaning the same quality of player. I'm not telling you that they play the same way. They obviously don't. But I think that if you put Rivers in the Pittsburgh situation, he would have won two championships. And if you put him in the New Orleans situation, he would have won a championship. And if you put him on those Giants teams that beat the Patriots, I think he would have won those games that Eli did. Eli wasn't even good in the 07 game. So I think Rivers would have had success there. So I think they're all the same. So I think Rivers absolutely belongs in that grouping with Roethlisberger, Eli, and Breeze. I do. You don't?
I don't. I'm sorry. I put a premium on Super Bowls, and all those guys have won Super Bowls. And, you know, and I understand the absence of a coach. I get that. But I also say, you know, you look at Rivers' history there, and there's a lot of 7-9s and 8-8s.
Okay. So you just hit on the thing that, And so that's what I did when I said, this is how I look at Rivers. If you put him in those other situations, he's won. If you had drafted Phillip Rivers and he had gotten Bill Belichick, and you'd have had the same defenses and the same personnel, Rivers would have had Welker and Moss and all those guys in 07. You don't think you would have had a really, really good team?
Sure.
If Rivers had been slotted into this spot here, you don't think you would have won multiple championships with Phillip Rivers?
I don't know.
Oh, please.
I mean, probably, but again,
I mean, a guy with that attitude handle this market? Consider where he's played. How much pressure has he really had to deal with from a media standpoint?
Could he handle the market long-term? Could he handle the coach long-term? So, but look, I'm not telling you who would have won five.
No, we're talking about the talent of the player.
I'm telling you that if Phillip Rivers was your quarterback here for a stretch of time during this Belichick run, you would have won championships. Again, not five. But you would have won in 03 and 04 with Phillip Rivers. You were that good defensively. You were that good in every phase of the game. You were a wagon. You were complete. There were no holes on that team. You were tough, unlike that 07 team, which was not tough, as we found out. You should have known going in. So I think you put Phillip Rivers here on that team in 03 and 04, and you're still winning those years. Maybe not the others. Okay, but this just got me thinking about how important the surrounding cast is and how people misconstrue it. And I'm hearing now it with Brady, because you see this article on Bleacher Report. He's getting old. And anytime, you know, Brady has bad years, guys like Gasper, well, look what he's surrounded with. Look what he's surrounded with. And we always go to the weapons and his receivers and the players around him. Like 06, look what they saddled him with in 06. Rashay Caldwell and Doug Gabriel. What a joke. And look at 13. He's thrown to Matthew Mulligan and Matthew Slater. And look at this year. Gronk's hurt and Edelman was out and Josh Gordon was a puddle. And it's not fair what they're surrounding him with. I feel like every time I hear that now, we're going to get into an argument. Because are you saying to me that Brady's been put in a bad spot here? Ever? Do you understand? He came into the world And 18 years later, he came into the NFL world. And 18 to two decades later, he's only been coached by the greatest coach in the history of the game. Do you know what an advantage that puts him over everybody else, over Manning, over Rodgers, over Rivers, and especially over Philip Rivers? Do you know that he came into the world, the NFL world, in 2000, and 20 years later, he's had one playbook? Do you understand what an advantage that is? Don't tell me he's been put in a bad spot somehow, or he's not surrounded or not put in a position to win. That's a joke. So some years he has down receivers. He's had Bill Belichick every step of the way. He's had one playbook. Do you understand how rare that is and what an advantage that is over everybody, over the entire field? Don't tell me he's been put in the best position of anyone on this list by far. By far. So in 06, and I think they screwed him in 06 in terms of receivers, I agree. He still had Bill Flip and Belichick. How do you think they got to the AFC title game that year? The coaching. How about the ownership? You know, Philip Rivers goes into San Diego where it's the old man. He passes away. It's Spalding Smales takes over the team. They all hate the owner. They've moved cities. Like, the situation. Do you know who Philip Rivers came into the world as his head coach? Here are Philip Rivers' head coaches. You ready? You know who his coach was when he was a rookie? Marty Schottenheimer.
Yeah, Schottenheimer is what I was going to guess.
Oh, Rivers sat out the first couple years. Breeze was still there. You know, you forget this. Rivers' first 2 years were on the bench, but it was still Marty Schottenheimer. Philip Rivers has had his head coach since he came into the league in 04. Marty Schottenheimer, Norv Turner, Mike McCoy, and Anthony Lynn. Tom Brady's had Bill Belichick. You're going to tell me that Tom Brady's somewhat at a disadvantage because he had to throw to Rashay Caldwell in 06? That's a joke. That's a joke. How about Philip Rivers? Tom Brady's had three offensive coordinators, right? Charlie, Josh, Bill O'Brien, and Josh.
Yeah.
So, but Josh twice. So he's had three offensive coordinators, but basically, it's really the same thing, right? I mean, you can say it's three different coordinators, but it's all the exact same system. It's the same playbook. It's the same terminology. It's the same language. So it's three, but it's a yeah, but three. You know, he's had basically the same system, the same thing the entire way. Do you know what an advantage that is? Where Philip Rivers came into the league, you know who his offensive coordinator was, Maz? Guess who he had to learn under as a rookie?
Cam Cameron.
Ha ha!
You're surprised that I knew that.
Yes, excellent work by you. Cam Cameron. Here are Philip Rivers' offensive coordinators since he came into the league. Cam Cameron. Something named Clarence Shulman? That sounds like their bean counter. That sounds like their CFO. The guy's in accounting. Clarence Shulman? Cam Cameron, Clarence Shulman, something named Hal Hunter.
What's with the alliteration? Go ahead. Cameron and Hal Hunter.
Then he had Ken Whisenhunt in 2013.
Good one.
Only to be replaced by Frank Reich in 2014 and 15.
Another good one.
And then Ken Whisenhunt came back in 2016. Okay, so Whisenhunt and Reich are good. Like, I'm going to tell you, he had bad coordinators there. But they're just different. And as something tells me, they had different playbooks or systems or ideas.
Sure.
Or philosophies, at least. I mean, maybe they kept the same playbook or not. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they kept the same terminology or not. I don't know that. But it's not like here, where you went from Charlie to his assistant, Josh. Josh leaves, and then it's his assistant, Bill O'Brien, who's running the exact same stuff. And then when Bill O'Brien leaves, they bring back Josh McDaniels. Brady's had the same guy the entire time. So like, this is starting to crawl up my tailpipe. Well, they haven't surrounded him with anything. He's not put in a position to succeed. Shut up. He's been put in the best position to succeed of any player I can think of. Maybe Bart Starr, like, or Joe Montana. Like, that's what we're talking about. You come into the world being coached by the greatest coach in the history of the sport, and 20 years later, there's been no change to your playbook, your terminology, your philosophies. Your ownership is among the best in the league. You've had to cycle through no coaches. Like, give me a break. I don't want to hear that he has been put in a position. He's been put in the best position to succeed of all these guys. And like, you could say some years that Philip Rivers had more talent than Brady to throw to, for sure, right? Like, you know, LaDainian Tomlinson, Antonio Gates, Vincent Jackson. I was just trying to put this together. You know, Darian Sproles, Malcolm Floyd. Like, they've had good talent, and Rivers' talent now is, I think, really good.
Oh, yeah, they have good talent now, wide receiver, yeah. Keenan Allen's on that list with the people you use.
Keenan Allen's a stud.
He's a good player.
Williams is a good player. That Benjamin's a third receiver. Gates is still there, but the other tight end's good.
Even the backs are good. Gordon's a good back, and the other guy's good, too, Eckler.
He's surrounded by talent, no question about it. Anthony Lynn is his coach, Anthony Lynn. Okay, who might be good, who might not, who knows? Anthony Lynn. And he's on his, what was that, sixth offensive coordinator? And somehow Tom Brady's not surrounded, not put in the best position to succeed? That's a joke. The more I think about that, my God. So that just started to crawl up my tailpipe.
Well, look, I get it. I mean, I you know, I'm not here to defend Brady, but I'm just telling you that you would think in one of those years, okay, with regard to Rivers being overrated, you would think that in one of those years he would have just put it together or elevated his team on an annual basis.
Okay, so in 06, they were right there.
Okay.
And Marlon McCree fumbles the ball and, you know, the team plays like a bunch of jackasses.
He didn't play well in that game either, though.
I'd have to go back and look at it. I don't remember him being the problem, but he must have been somewhere along the line.
So I guess here's my question. He's been in the league for 15 years. What's his signature moment? Where is that game where we looked at it and go,
I mean, I hear you.
He doesn't have one.
So I'm not telling you he's Brady. I'm not telling you he's Manning. I just don't want to hear that Brady hasn't been put in a position to succeed. That's a joke. That's laughable. He's been put in a tremendous position to succeed. Put in a much better position than anyone else I can name, frankly, over the long haul. Spot years, is his talent down? Sure, of course. Over 20 years, there's going to be some ebbs and flows to his talent, and maybe this is a little bit of an ebb. But Philip Rivers, fine. Philip Rivers, fine. I think if he were put in, if he came into the world with Tom Coughlin, if he was with Tom Coughlin for those years, you don't think they might have won a little bit more in the postseason? I mean, you have to believe that, right? You believe in Tom Coughlin. I mean, coach quarterback, and it's the marriage of the two. And I mean, has Philip Rivers ever had the benefit of one good head coach?
Hell, and he could have ended up with the Giants, except that Eli wanted nothing to do with San Diego.
It's supposed to be, right?
Right.
So, I mean, Anthony Lynn might be. I don't know. Norv Turner was a fine coordinator, but never a good coach. So Philip Rivers has never had a good coach. Never mind a great one, and Brady's had the best of all time for 20 years? Come on. All right, so there's the rant on that. Your thoughts right after this.
Younger Naz, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Mass.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Again, we just found a way. We got to get better. No question. We know the task ahead next week is going to be tough, as always. This team is in this round every year. We know that, and we got to go to their place. So it'll be a heck of a challenge next week.
All right, there's our guy, Philip Rivers. And we continue with your thoughts. Matt in the car jumps on this. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Felger, you got a lot of good points. I usually agree with you. But when I don't, I think you're crazy, man. Tom Brady, I understand what you're saying. Belichick's been there for 20 years, and I do think Belichick will have them prepared. But they're going to have to do shenanigans, man. It's going to take reverses, Edelman throwing touchdowns. James White is regular. He doesn't have no wiggle with him. People forget that he only gets right because no one guards him. When they focus in on him, they'll take him out the game plan. If Sonny Michel don't run for 150-plus, two touchdowns, Edelman throws a touchdown, Cordell Patterson on a reverse for 40 yards, if all of that does not happen, Patriots won't win. And to win three games, we're going to have to do three different game plans. Oh. And we're capable of doing it, but we don't have a staple.
But,
you know that.
But what you're saying is the talent isn't there on the Patriots.
You know it, man. Plumbers, carpenters, construction workers. Look like the Red Sox playing out here.
It's not that bad, Matt. But the talent's down from, you know, I think it's down across the board. I still think Brady's surrounded with enough to win. He's surrounded with enough to win this game. You know, but I just, you know, I'd rather have the head coach than the all-star cast. I'm sorry. Over the long haul, for sure. In a spot year, right, you know, in a short-term situation, I mean, right. I mean, if you have enough talent, Barry Switzer's going to win a Super Bowl. I mean, that's obvious. But over the long haul, I'd rather have the head coach.
Oh, yeah, no. The system for the quarterback, the system's invaluable. Really, it's invaluable. I don't think you can emphasize that part enough.
So when I hear people say Brady's gotten to where he's gotten to and they've never really surrounded him with a... Well, first of all, they have from time to time. But second of all, he's been given the greatest coach in the history of the sport. You don't think that's an advantage?
Oh, it's a massive advantage. And the only time the Patriots have ever really gotten into problems with that whole thing is when they take the whole talent thing a little too far and all of a sudden strip mine it completely. Like, so it is, there's no question Brady has benefited from the continuity of it. And look, maybe this is part of why Belichick does it the way he does it. Like, you know, for everyone's sake, not just Brady's, but you promote from within and now everything stays the same.
So the caller sort of echoed what Bedard said earlier, and that is for the Patriots to win this game, they're going to have to get a special team score, a defensive score, trickeration, you know, Edelman double passes, et cetera, et cetera. Do you agree with that, Matt?
No, I don't. I don't agree with that completely. No, because they're not that much of an underdog. You know, like, in fact, they're favored in the game.
Sure are.
So now, if you take out the points for the home field advantage, essentially the game's a washer. They're favored by a point and a half. I saw 4.5 yesterday. I haven't looked today. So, you know, it's not like they're up against this wagon, this juggernaut that's unbeatable, for crying out loud. Let's not go too far with it. But when the caller says Sony Michel's going to have to get 150 yards, if you're banking on that, like, the guy's never played in the play. Has he had 150 in any game yet?
You're dubious of Sony Michel? Maz, that's Barry Sanders they got. They spent first-round pick well spent on running backs. You're supposed to spend first-round picks on running backs, and he's the real deal. You're doubting Sony Michel?
Now, if you told me
He ran the ball between 17 to 25 times this year. The Patriots did go 6-1 in those games, but that doesn't matter because running backs don't matter.
What a misleading running back is.
Murray, I'll tell you what. If you tell me that James White has to touch the ball 20 times...
Yeah, fine. No, the running game as a whole, yes. No, it will matter in this game.
No.
Yeah.
I'll give you James White.
Okay. No, but, I don't, because you already think Sony Michel's getting hurt on Sunday.
I'm not sure he can survive the playoffs. I'm serious about that. I'm not sure he can survive the playoffs.
And don't put words in my mouth. The running game should be important.
Oh.
You just, James White drafted in the fourth round. Much rather have him touch the ball than the guy you spent a first-round pick on.
If Sony Michel gets 25 touches, and by that I mean, can we eliminate the garbage time handoffs if they're up two touchdowns?
Well, but that's what Murray's stat was speaking to. When so-and-so gets so many carries, their record is, that's when you're up, you run the ball late to run out the clock. That's why that's misleading, Murray. But go on.
So I'm just saying, if we eliminate those, if they rely on Sony Michel to win the game, they're going to lose. Sony Michel's not going to win the game for him. I don't think. Now, if you tell me that they can throw it to White 10 times and hand off to White 10 times, I'm in.
Well, I mean, here's all I know. For every time you say, you know, San Diego's going to have to come play in the snow and it's the weather and that's going to impact them, tell me what Sony Michel's track record is in the snow and the slop and bad weather.
I'm telling you, that play in Chicago left a bad taste in my mouth when he got twisted around and just dropped the ball.
Does he have any experience in the playoffs or bad weather? Does he? Bob in Needham. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, what's up, Michael? Congratulations, by the way, on the hire of the Packers head.
Oh, God.
I always want to have a Frenchman leading me into battle.
Right, yeah, the flower. Thank you.
Is that Guy's son, by the way? Do we know that?
Oh, God.
Evoy, as you would say. Anyways, I wanted to talk to Bedard, but he already left. So he said...
Bob, it's Oy Vey. Just so you know.
What did he say?
Evoy. My Yiddish is sketchy. I mean, I like to go to it because, like, it's a very rich language. I mean, I think it's – I add something. I do like it. But – so I'm not great with it, but that one I do know.
Stick to Mamma Mia.
It's cool, not whatever you say, by the way.
Oy vey. Go ahead, Bob.
All right. So my point to Bernard was going to be, he said, what evidence is that Brady can have three magical – what evidence did we have last year or this year about Nick Foles that he's played magically – the end of last season and follow it up in this season? Why Brady, the Hall of Fame, the GOAT of all time, he can't have three good games in a row?
Well,
what was his point about that?
His point
was... I don't get it. He can have three good games.
But his point was, Bob, thanks for the call. Bedard's point was that he hasn't done it all year. And Foles, did he have three great games in a row? I mean, that home Minnesota NFC Championship game.
He was ridiculous in that game.
Was he?
Yeah.
Yeah, they throttled him in that game.
Sorry. I mean, I thought it was a blowout and didn't matter what anyone did.
But, no, Foles was awesome.
Well, no, they throttled him. Was it because of Foles?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is,
I take it back.
I mean, the other thing is historically Brady doesn't have three good games in the postseason. Now, the one thing working in his variable, working in his favor now is the variable of bye weeks. Like, it's the look, if the Patriots are going to make it a run, the game that worries me is the middle game. From Brady's standpoint, now I'm talking just about Brady. Like, the idea that Brady could play two consecutive playoff games without a week off.
Look, is Brady capable of having three great games? Of course he is. Who would say that he's not? Of course he's capable of it. Of course. Greg's point was that he hasn't strung very many of those together this year, and that's true. He hasn't.
When you really get down to it, what was his best game this year?
Kansas City.
Kansas City, the first half against Miami, and then he turned into a pumpkin.
Yeah, the first half against Miami was good. I don't remember all the particulars of the Kansas City game.
Of course he's capable of it. James in California. Go ahead, James.
I just want to talk about, is the Chargers going to be the toughest team that they play in the postseason? Also, I don't really think it's fair that we have to play them. I prefer the tomato can game.
James, some fans feel that way. From our perspective, a little bit more of a neutral spot, I think this is so much more entertaining. It's so much better. You're going to get some actual competition, actual push. I think, unless you blow them out 30-3, I guess that's possible. But on paper, at least, this is a team that can beat you. And I find that...
I mean, compared to last year's game, it's the Titans.
Oh, God, please, you couldn't even...
Complete waste of time.
You couldn't even talk about it.
Yeah, I don't think there's a layup for him here left in the field. Even if Indy comes in here, I don't think that's a layup either.
Nope. Especially if Indy will have just gone to KC and won that game. You know, you got to project. It's not just Indy coming in, cold. They will have... That would have been a hell of a win in Kansas City. So they would have the wind beneath their sails. They would have been battle-tested, blah, blah, blah. So, yes, Kansas City's a tough out. There's no easy out the rest of the way, which is all the more reason why they don't think you're going to make it. You know, you're not going to get a layup here. You have to fight this round. You have to fight the next round. You have to fight in the Super Bowl.
I mean, they usually get the double bye. They usually get the double bye, and it's a free trip into the AFC Championship.
Or if it's not a double bye, it's like 14, where they had the tough game in the divisional round against the Ravens, and then here come the Colts, in the Deflategate game, and that's not even a game. So you get that one off. Like, they usually get one off. And so...
In which case, you get the double bye going into the Super Bowl.
Right, one of the two. It's not going to happen this year. So that's one thing we're following up on today from yesterday, Brady, Rivers, and Rivers' place in this whole conversation. Also, we started yesterday on West Coast coming to the East Coast for that 1 o'clock start. We have hard data for you and maybe what it means right after these words. No, after Murray's update. So don't go anywhere.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
B.O.B. Boob.
Oh, my God. Isn't that Bob?
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
$1, baby, $1. First of all, let me say this. I appreciate all the work you put in, okay, for this victory today. All right? And I know in this league, most games are won by a score. We talk about it all the time. But it felt like we dominated that team.
Yeah, we
dominated.
We
okay?
Did.
But we got to stay focused for four quarters, man. Four quarters. This team stay focused for four quarters, and then let's see what happens.
Yes, sir.
Right? Enjoy Victory Monday tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Let's get ready for round two.
So that's the foreman, Anthony Lynn, Chargers head coach, in the locker room after that game in Baltimore. Where the Chargers went out to Baltimore, West Coast team going out to the East Coast in the playoffs for a 1 o'clock Eastern start, which those West Coast teams like to call a 10 a.m. start. And they won, which is rare. And I think that's an advantage for the Patriots. And it's historically a pretty big advantage for the East Coast team, which I acknowledge it is. It matters. The point I was making yesterday, and I'll reiterate here, is that it shouldn't matter. It shouldn't be a big deal. But it is. I mean, that speaks to the softness of today's players. I mean, I don't know what it speaks to. But my God. I mean, the way people make it sound, it's like you're flying coach to Tibet. and you're standing in a security line for 2 hours, and again, sitting next to the 300-pound guy who's passing gas for, you know, 12 hours, sitting in the middle row on the way to Tibet with goats running up and down the aisle. Like, that's the way people make it sound. Did you understand how these guys travel? They don't have our security lines. They run the bus right out to the tarmac, right to the base of the airplane. They get a lot of times, most times, they got two seats between each other, and they're fabulously catered, and they don't have to buckle up. They run around the plane all day. Like, it's beautiful the way they travel. Beautiful. It's tremendous. And then the plane lands. There's a bus waiting for them right at the bottom of the plane. They jump on the bus, and they drive to the Four Seasons or some other nice hotel. Like, so, first of all, the travel's no sweat. Second of all, they've had 5 or 6 days in between games. Again, this isn't like basketball, 3 games in 4 nights. You finish one game at 11 o'clock at night in one place, you jump on a plane, you land in the next city, and then you play that night. That's not what's happening here. They flew home on Sunday, 6-hour flight, get home, go to bed, all day Monday, all day Tuesday, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday. 4 full days to rest and prepare. And if they're smart, they're practicing it early in the morning out there, right? Practice at 10 a.m. I don't know, just to whatever. You have all that time, all that run-up, all that runway to acclimate yourself. Then, if they're smart, they fly out Friday. So, 5-hour flight going from the west to the east, 5:15. Really? That's going to kill you? 5 hours and 15 minutes in the air? You're not flying to Dubai. God! Like, the way people make that sound. And you're not sitting in coach next to Gresh. You know, you got your feet up the entire time. It's beautiful. Like, God. And so then you get here, you stay in some nice hotel for 2 nights. You should be ready to go at 1 o'clock. It's not a 6 a.m. game time. They're not playing at 7:30. They're not playing at the ass crack of dawn. It's 1 o'clock. So, like, it shouldn't be that big a deal.
It shouldn't be, but it is. I don't know if it's like, you know, I don't know what you call them, biorhythms or whatever else the hell it is that you just, your body's not awake or something.
Okay, so I think the regular season number, I said yesterday, I understand the regular season thing. Scheduled loss, 17-week grind. Maybe you played on the road the week before. You know, again, scheduled loss. Like, I get it in the regular season. You're going to take a day off. You're going to have an off week or things aren't going to be right 1 week. It's probably when you're going to the East Coast and playing at 1 o'clock, 10 a.m. game. I get it. Playoffs with everything on the line? You're going to let that get in the way? That's embarrassing. But it happens. So we mentioned this yesterday. We put out a couple nerd calls, and everyone's been fumbling around with different numbers, different samples. No one's got it right.
We do.
Except for one guy, Andy, who emailed us, and I don't want to mention his last name because maybe he doesn't want it mentioned. Maybe he's like a brain surgeon, and he emailed us in the middle of brain surgery, and I don't want to out him.
Dandy Andy.
So Andy gave it to us, and I've gone back, and I've checked the first 9 games, and he nailed them. So maybe he's missed some, but the 9 that he mentioned are nailed. West Coast teams playing on the East Coast on a 1 o'clock East Coast start, and the bulk of these actually are 12:30s. They used to play at 12:30. First window. It used to be 12:30.
12:30 and 4 o'clock were the games in the old days.
Right? So
I say the old days, you know what I mean.
That's a 9:30 a.m. West Coast start. So all time, he goes back to 1972. That West Coast team is 8-15. 8-15. Can you, Maz, because you're smart off the top of your head, give me the winning percentage there?
It's about 350.
350. Okay.
I mean, 8-16 would be 333, so it's called 350.
Okay, so that's pretty consistent. What I decided to do was draw the line at 1990. I just picked 1990 because, I don't know, in 1972, maybe they did. Maybe they traveled by train in 1970. Right, like, yeah. In 72, maybe they did fly coach next to the 300-pound guy farting the entire time.
Crash.
Like, you know, like, I can't tell you how they...
Whole plane full of cigarette smoke.
Right. Did they have private jets and stuff, you know, private charters in 72? I don't even know.
In fact, in 72, for all we know, Gresh was flying the plane.
So, I just started in 1990. I just started in 1990 because that feels like, I don't know. It's just...
Modern era.
Modern era, call it. 1990. Since 1990... The West Coast team is 3-6. 333.
So it's consistent.
Okay, yeah. 333. So that doesn't sound good, and it's not good. I wonder if the regular season number is even worse. I know bettors feast on that, you know, that
big time.
That 10 a.m. West Coast start.
It's like the most appealing bets out there.
Right. So in the playoffs, so I So I'd like to compare it to the regular season, what that number is. And I'm not asking anyone to do that research, because that this takes a lot, because you've got to not just, they don't just give you the time when you go back on these websites. You've got to click on the individual box score and search out time, you know, start time. So it takes a lot of work. So I thank Andy for doing it. I think he nailed it. So 3-6 since 1990. The comp I do want is, what's the overall road record in the playoffs since 1990? That should be pretty easy, right? There should be a nerd out there that can just punch in those parameters and spit that thing out, lickety-split.
I might even be able to get you that. Keep going.
What do road teams do in the playoffs? Winning percentage for road teams in the playoffs since 1990. That's pretty simple. You should be, there should be a couple filters there that you can get lickety-split. And in which case, I would say, I mean, what do you think that winning percentage is? It can't be 500.
No.
There's no way. No. So it's probably, my guess is it's around 400.
I would guess between 40 and 45%.
So you think it's in the four and change?
Yeah, because I think it's better than you think. I mean, those playoffs, because you usually get good teams playing on the road. Okay. You don't have scrubs like you do during the regular season.
Not recently. Not recently. The last 5-6 years, it's been all ones and two seeds in the championship games and then the Super Bowl. So the last couple years, I think it's been heavy, heavy home. Heavy, heavy home, it feels like. But since 1990, I don't know. So, and we can play these. So what I'm driving at is, if the overall winning percentage for road teams in the playoffs is 433, and the West Coast 1 p.m. East Coast game is 333, what's really the gap are we talking about? You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
So that's what I want to see too. But, well, there it is. You know, we fumbled around for the raw data, and there it is. Thanks to Andy, the emailer, for getting that to me. I think that's illuminating. I think it's absolutely an advantage for the Patriots. Absolutely is. But my point yesterday and today remains, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. And again, just go to Philip Rivers, man. You're going to play in the league for 16 years. You're going to be considered one of the all-time greats. You're going to be shut out for championships. You won't have one. This could be your last chance at it. And you're going to come out here and let the fact that you had to fly 5 hours and 15 minutes on a private plane, that's going to get in the way of you winning this ball game? Don't tell me that's going to happen.
No, it shouldn't. I mean, at the end of the day, once they start, there shouldn't be any issue there. There shouldn't be. You know, the numbers are what they are. I mean, there's a reason the Patriots are favored. They're at home, right? Like, just a home field alone is worth something. So the longer flight is, you know, and again, when you do it three times, sure. I suppose it takes a little something out of you. But I also think it's early enough in here where we shouldn't be looking at it going, oh, the flight killed them.
I mean, it might, but if it does, that's embarrassing. That's a bad commentary on those West Coast teams. So there's that thing. Back to you. Long commercial-free segments next.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5
The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
You get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do you anticipate interviewing for any more head coaching opportunities, or have you kind of closed the book on that for now and are just focused on what you're doing with the Patriots?
The book is closed. You know, it's always a... It's always a a humbling experience to have an opportunity to interview with anybody for that position, you know, and I was thankful for the opportunity to meet with Green Bay, and always gives you greater insight into another organization and how they do things. It's been very educational for me every time I've gone through it, and I've appreciated every single one of them. That was great, but no, I'm completely focused on the Chargers and our season and finishing it strong, and I'll be here moving forward.
All right, we have some updated road home playoff numbers that might surprise you. One second, though. I want to just do this Josh topic real quick. So he doesn't get the Green Bay job, and today he says the book is closed on any other interviews or any other pursuing. He's here. He's here. And you could hesitate, and you could hear him hesitate there when he said, I'm going to be here. And I can't remember how he finished it, but I'm going to be here for...
Going forward or something.
Going forward, right. You know, you know, he didn't say I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to be here for the long haul. Say it again.
Going forward.
Right.
As if you could go backwards.
Right. So he was even hemming and hawing on that. So that's the thing on Josh. I want to play the follow-up question answer because I think it's a good one. Remember last year, he took the Colts job. The plane was here, warming. The press conference was ready to roll, and he backed out at the last minute. And we wondered at the time, our team's going to hold that against him. He was asked that by Phil Perry.
Do you feel as though what happened last offseason with the Colts impacted at all your hearing from other teams in terms of potentially getting other opportunities?
I have no idea, Phil. You know, you'd have to obviously ask them if that had anything to do with anything like that. I'm grateful for the opportunity that I had, but obviously, more importantly, thankful for the opportunity that I have here. I've said before, I think I have one of the best jobs in the world, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to continue competing this week against the Chargers.
Okay, so did his Colts thing last year, was that held against him this year in his coaching search? I'll ask the group, but I'll go first. I hope so. I hope it was held against him.
It should be.
I mean, absolutely should be.
If you're going to act like a giant C-tease, which stands for?
Coach tease.
If you're going to be
well done, my friend.
If you're going to be a C-tease, well, then you know what? Go pound sand.
Flirt.
Screw you. Go flirt somewhere else. Go stick your ass in someone else's face.
To have all of those assistants uproot their lives and take those jobs, and then at the last minute you decide, nah, I'm good. And all those guys who are already there, not knowing what the hell the next step is going to be, who the next head coach is going to be, that's awful. That's such a bad look.
I'll tell you what, because I can be vindictive when it comes to stuff like that. And not to like sound like this old school person, but you give someone your word, you take the job, and then you back out. I mean, that's like one of the great dink moves of all time. It really is. So I hope it happened in Cleveland, because it sounds like that's the job he wanted. And I would hope that the Browns looked at it and said, no, wait a minute. Indy offered you a job last year, and you said yes, and then you turn your tail on them at the last minute. Screw you. Why the hell would we want you? No. I would hope that it cost him the job he wanted. To me, that's justice. Like, you know, because what he did to the Colts, and I do think the Colts ended up better off, frankly. I don't think that highly of McDaniels. I don't think as highly as you do, as you know. And so it looks to me like they got a guy that can coach and their quarterback's back. They're in good shape.
So my analysis here is separate of what I think of Josh as a coach. I want him to be the next Patriots coach. So I think you win in this too. I love the thought of the continuity with Josh McDaniels. So I'm fine with him being the coach here. I want him to be the coach here. So all this stuff really benefits you. But on that other level, if you're going to carry yourself like that, then you get what you deserve. And so was it held against him? Was the Colts thing held against him? I hope so.
I mean, to quote Butch Cassidy, you reap what you sow.
I don't know if it was, but I hope it was, because to me, that's justice. All right, so there's a Josh McDaniels topic. You can weigh in on that if you want. We were talking before about the West Coast teams coming East Coast, playing at 1 o'clock since 1990. Okay, that's just where I drew the line, because not to prove an agenda, just because I think that's when travel became what travel is. And I'm just guessing 1990. Frankly, if I use the whole sample, it's better for my agenda. Going back to 1972, the West Coast team playing at 1 o'clock on the East Coast in the playoffs is 8-15. That's about a .350 winning percentage. Since 1990, I've actually hurt my agenda here. Since 1990, it's a tad worse. They're 3-6, which is a .333 winning percentage. Okay, so let's just stick with that 1990, post-1990 sample. West Coast teams, 1 o'clock, East Coast game, 3-6, .333 winning percentage. Overall, Maz, since 1990, what are road teams in the playoffs?
They are 93-192. It's a winning percentage of .326. So it's pretty consistent with that number.
Let's just call it exactly the same. Let's just call it a wash. The winning percentage is a little bit higher with the West Coast team, but I'm not gonna. That's a statistical tie. It makes no difference.
No, it really doesn't. And I'll tell you what, though,
makes no difference. It sucks being on the road. That's proven. But West Coast to East Coast to West, Central Mountain, Indiana that splits it down the middle, Atlantic time in Nova Scotia, which they're trying to get here, it doesn't matter. If you're on the road in the NFL playoffs, you win 1 out of 3 times. Makes no difference historically, statistically, that they're coming from the West Coast.
Absolutely right. And so if you want to go by franchise, because I was able to, the search engine I use actually broke it down by which teams have been the most successful at it, which have been the biggest failures.
What's with these nerd calls? Just ask Maz. He's got all the fancy stuff.
So, for example, like Houston, Cleveland, Detroit, the Raiders, and Cincinnati are all winless on the road in the playoffs since 1990.
Brings down the sample.
Okay, so those teams. There were only four teams in the NFL, four franchises in the NFL that are 500 or better on the road in the postseason.
Hold on. Four teams in the history of the league are 500 or better on the road.
Since 1990.
Okay, can I give you to them?
Sure.
Baltimore.
Number one, 10-6, 625.
The Jets.
The Jets are not in the, they are pretty good, actually. They are ninth, but they are not of over 500. They're 5-8.
Okay.
You're close.
The Giants?
Bingo. 6-4. They're second. 600 winning percentage.
Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh is fifth, just under 500. 5-6.
Who else is one on the road?
So the last two are going to surprise you. Third is Carolina. They're 500. 4-4.
Never got it.
And number four? San Diego / Los Angeles Chargers. 4-4. 500 in the playoffs.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. You may not want to pull over or just close your ears or something out there. That's sorry. I didn't mean to do that to you. I didn't know that was going to happen.
I did. That's why I set it up that way. Once I saw it, I said, well, let me introduce this to the discussion. There you go.
They've been one of the best road teams in the playoffs in the last three decades.
Yep. Since 1990, only four teams in the NFL have played 500 or better on the road in the playoffs. Four franchises. Baltimore, the Giants, Carolina, the Chargers. That's it.
Okay, so they're the facts. Do with them what you will.
Once again, you heard it here first on Felger and Maz.
Okay, your calls, I promise, after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials, and I will have info on how you can win free Patriots tickets to Sunday's game. That's right, freebies. Info on that coming up next hour, so don't go anywhere.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.